Session number 8229.
Mr. Collins, tape 6. This battle you just described, the last big British advance, that would have been in 1918, wouldn't it?
I think it would.
Yes. What was the location
in my
of
book?
It? Well, what was the location? Can you think of the place where you actually were? The village or town you were near?
You mean what? It was, I believe it was, let's see, we were, come on, you think?
Yes.
Yeah. It'd be on the Somme.
You were actually saying...
The tremendous front, you know, the Somme.
Yes. You were saying about the, in the trench, when you were in the trench...
Oh,
you didn't
yes.
actually finish that story, but
yeah.
somebody came in
yes,
and
yeah.
said...
He said, where's Collins then? I said, oh, I am. He said, well, Captain Clark wants that way you're getting your valise. I said, where is he then? He said, it's over with us, over there. So I took it out, give him it, and he nipped off with it. He never asked me if I wanted a drink. And I'd carried it all day, nearly.
That was hard luck, wasn't it?
Well, I didn't want it. Drink were no problem with me in the war. No,
so,
no problem.
Are there any other actions you can tell us
yes,
about?
Yes, I haven't finished yet. Now, in the afternoon, that's all... That settled in the front line, you know, made the line of it to hold the Germans. We'd advanced all that way, and the wounded were coming back. You see, and there weren't enough stretchers, as I said before. I couldn't, and some were. You know, hobbling, helping others and all that sort of thing. And we see some poor old Germans. They couldn't get that way because they stuck with a comrade. He was seriously wounded. Now, this one won, but a nice few of them. They'd improvised stretchers. They got two long poles. Where they got them from, I don't know. And that their ground sheets, you know what, the ground sheets, they're always larger than ours. And they'd fix these here ground sheets onto these poles. They made a stretcher of it. And they got the man in the centre there, in, you know, an arsons. And then they'd pick these four of them. And they got the tin hats on, and some had got their overcoats on. Because they were so heavy, you get a man and you're exhausted. They're so heavy, and they just pitiful to see them. And they come close to me, and they got their heads, you know, and they walk by as if they knew they'd be all right, and. As I went by, the blood was trickling out the bottom of the ground sheet, the comrade. But they stuck with him, you see. You see, I never hated the Germans. Oh, I was sorry for them blokes, though. There were a lot of them. And there was one of our young fellas. He was an officer's runner. He'd been up with his officer, and his officer got his legs blew off. Now, that wants a bit of believing, doesn't it? And he come running down to me. He said, I've got to go over there. He said, will you watch him? And I said, yes. And I went over and I looked at him. I don't know if you ever see one of these ambulance with rubber tires and that to make anybody comfortable and take the spring, you see, if anybody's seriously wounded. Well, this officer lay there and he'd got his cover drawn over. But it was eyes. He looked at me, I'll never forget his look. I knew he wouldn't get better. He seemed to look right through you somehow. That's only one of the things, you see, you get so used to them. You see, now when you come out but you never forget these things. I'm laid. I didn't think about them, they're there. That'll always be there. This lad come out and he said, I've got to get him down. And off he trotted with this here ambulance. He wouldn't get better though. He said he'd got his legs off. Just a short one. This is with the one of North Anso. So I'll tell you one with the tanks, the last one then, shall I? Is it on now? I'll tell you, the fellow I said I liked, I used to talk to him a lot. And he went, and he said to me, I hope I never go up to Ypres, he said. I don't know why, but he said, I dread that place. It must be a terrible place. But the funny thing, we were a good way from Ypres. And he went on leave. And he said, no sooner he gone on leave, and we had orders to go up to Ypres into that battle, as I said. The third battle of Ypres. And we never thought a word about it. We never thought we used to go up there, but we did, you see. And he went on leave. He didn't know anything about it. And when he come back off leave, we were at Ypres, you see. And he nearly went mad. He said, I didn't want to come up here. Well, he was in the crew anyway, and I was seeing him, and he said, he like a different chap. He said, I don't want to die. He said, I don't want to die. He said, I've got two lovely little boys, and a lovely wife, he says. I want to be with them. He was just quoting, but he got killed. He went in with the tanks. And the next day, I thought about him. Said, where's Fitzjohn? And said, he's... had to direct it. That's really it. The funny thing, he never wanted, he had a dread for there, and that's how things were. But he were the old Fitz. Never did know where he lived. Never did know what. I know he got his two lovely little boys, he says. He want the same chap that he got.
Did you experience anything of the March Retreat?
The March Retreat?
1918.
That was the 21st of... in spring, I think. And, you know, they knew the Germans were coming over. They knew weeks in front that the Germans were going to make a big push. And they didn't do much about it. They couldn't. I don't know what they were. These officers used to go up the front line and reconnoitre and all that, wonder where they'll come through. And they come through on the 1st of spring, I'm not sure. They come through and they swept everything in front of them, powerfully armed, and the tanks ain't got a chance. So the tanks took the hook, I'll tell you. It's no good because they'd have been surrounded in no time. It was on such a vast scale. A good many thought we were finished. And as the night come on, you could see great petrol dumps, all aflame. YMCAs, all in flames, and all round these big wooden places, all burning, lighting the sky up, and the Germans advancing. And he come to night time. When we had Douglas Haig, backs to the wall. Nobody, you see, us tank men, we took out the tanks, joined the infantry. You see, the tanks couldn't do no good.
Did you just leave your tanks where they were? Or did you...
They were taken back. No, we just, the infantry, and I seen the cavalry weren't used much, you know, in the war. There were no call for them. I saw the Bengal Lancers go into action in the March Retreat. There they were, you know, you heard of the Bengal Lancers with their little hats, just on tin hats on one side, and the Lancers. They looked beautiful as I went, but they never come back, you know. What chance had a horse got in a machine gun? How were the Bengal Lancers? Any cavalry regiment out there ain't got a chance. They were cut up with machine gun fire, you see. It was a shame to send any horse. The only horses I had for drawing these big guns, you see. Putting them in place and that. Then you see, often see a horse running about with its insides hanging out. With a shell fire. Terrible how he were wounded there.
So you were made put back into infantry, were you, in the March Retreat? You were put back into the infantry role?
Yes, for the time being, only until the backs to the wall, you see. Douglas Haig said, backs to the wall. no more retreating. And they formed themselves into little fives with machine guns and had a drink of whiskey or rum. And they set themselves out. Mind you, they were getting on, and you know, they absolutely stopped there until they were killed. But we survived, and the next day or two, the shoe was on the other foot. We were driving them back again.
And were you then in your tank, or were you still infantry?
Oh, yeah, the tanks were all right. They were, yes.
They were participating, of course,
yeah.
In the...
Oh, yes. You see, a tank moves about as much as it can because it's a big object, isn't it?
Indeed,
yes. If I had only got a shell, hit it with a shell in the right place, you see. But anyway, the infantry who done it, we ain't got any rations. I'm in charge. There's some rations, about six of them. Bully beef and bread. And our officer, he's supposed to be in with us, with the rations. So he says, he come to me, he says, where's my rations then? Well, I said, you went in with us, are you with the officer? He said, I'm in with you. So he was there, and I said, I'm sorry. I said, we didn't know, we got on our own, but I'll give him half a mine. But he didn't say much. But you see how these things can happen.
You were saying in the beginning, when you were in the infantry, how you, nothing could be worse than that. You very much wanted to get out of it into the tanks. When you were actually in the tanks, and you have described so well the dangers associated with tank warfare then, did you still think you were better off than you had been in the infantry?
I'll tell you why. You see, when you've been in action with the tanks, and you've got some fault with it, as you did have, they send these tanks to the workshops, or you take them to the workshops. And during that time, you see, you're free. And they didn't, as a matter of fact, they used to send you down to Littrey Port for weeks. They used to practice firing your guns and that sort of thing. That's what they said. Well, you know very well we didn't want no practice, did we? They sent us for, no, I said, lolly, that's what they sent us for. And that's the difference between that and the infantry. You never got nothing from the infantry, you know. The thin red line, it were there. That were the stay. And no doubt about that. They bore the brunt. We went to, I volunteered one night to go and fetch some wounded in when I was in the North End, so about 10 of us. And we volunteered to go with stretcher bearers. And we got, and they were shelling with tremendous shells. And every time they used to drop every few minutes, you used to have to scatter. That was so tremendous. I said, obviously, we just never get through. I said, we got to get through. We got to have 12 men up there in an old trench that had been wounded that they couldn't get out. And so they've been there 3 days, I think. And anyway, we pressed on. And now one of these big showers come over again. And you see, when they hit the ground, they explode, they go right up in the air. But you see, they ain't finished there. It's when they come down again. They come down as fast as they go up. With tremendous power. Now, they go right through you. Now, you see, what chance have you got if you're in a trench and they and a shell bursts? And so they used to dig another trench, just scoop it out so they could just get under cover, you see. Many times when you get with them in them terrible places, you see, you could hear them, if they were near you, they'd go thud. And you know if it had hit you, it had killed you.
But you were describing earlier some of the dangers of a tank. How vulnerable you were if you had a direct hit, for instance. Or, again, you said you might be trapped in a tank. Did you not feel very vulnerable in your tanks when you were going into action? Were you...
Well, of course, it was. You see, every time you went into action, you were risking your life, wasn't you? It all depends, really, what sort of opposition you was against. You see, you get a battle like machines where everything was prepared for you with a mine and everything, you see. And yet we got this directed underneath. It's another inch or two, we shouldn't have been alive today. And yet we're here. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ He's answered all my questions. He was with us. He was with me. I heard Bob Jarman, the fellow I was talking about, we'd been under a bombardment once when we were in the Tham. And he said it was terrible, wasn't it? And I said, yes. Bob said, I could hear my mum praying for me. That was this fella, you know, who, lovely fella. Now, another fella I used to know in the North Ants, his name was Chattle. And I hadn't seen him since the war. And I rang the other week. He was about my age. I rang to Northampton and found Chattle, and I found the right one. But he's been dead 3 years, and his wife.
Oh. Now, to finish up, if I could just ask you, what were the main problems with the tanks then, do you think? And did these sort themselves out during the war, in your experience? Now, what do you think were the main problems with tanks? Were they very hot and noisy?
Oh, bless you, it was always hot in them, yeah. That was cosy, all right. In my opinion, I don't think tanks are going to be that successful in another war.
No, but keeping to the First World War, what do you think were the main problems then? Were they easy to manoeuvre?
Oh, yes. You could turn around and... But you could alter this system of pulling the gears in all the time. You see, you've got a two men, one that side and one that side.
Yes, you have explained that, yes. And that seemed to work, did it? It
made them maneuverable. Oh, bless you, yes. I want no trouble about that. And you see, when there's anything difficult, I soon got over it. Same as getting over the Hindenburg Law, and you see, no sooner did Germans said they'd never cross the Hindenburg Law, but we did, you see.
Did they improve the tanks through the war? That's one instance of
improvement. Oh, bless you, yes. Yes. Have you seen those tanks? You have seen them.
But you noticed yourself as a tank man, did you? Great improvements as the war progressed.
Well, as the war progressed, and I did invent them. You know, the sparks come through, didn't they? I invented a mask, come over and down along that, then a chain hung. I invented that, but I didn't see many of them used, but they did use them. You see, that to stop the sparks, you see, from blinding them, because I think there were several casualties with the eyes, weren't they? Though I didn't really know a lot. I was in all those battles, but the worst battle was the 8th of August with the tanks. When they come out of that valley, there was a battery of guns waiting for them. And they killed every man who were in the tank. That was terrible, that was. And then there was this one on fire on the other side, that was a female tank. You see, you got more chance with a male tank because you got the shell. But now, this here, I'll just tell you this about where I, it went on.